For 7/25/2012, it's Video Games Hot Dog, TM.
I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
Riff.
What? That was his voice. That was his like that was his like lovey voice.
How's it going, guys? It's time for another episode of Video Games Hot Dog.
Ah, shit, I forgot all my notes.
Oh, yeah, so did I.
Yes. Well, fuck.
Son of a bitch.
I forgot or remembered all the notes I didn't take.
Huh.
What have you guys been up to? We went to Comic-Con, and then we're done with Comic-Con.
Yay!
Yeah, that was a lot of effort.
Done with Comic-Con for fucking good.
Yeah?
No.
You're never going back?
You know, you don't ever say that. Never say never, they say.
Right. Wow, you said it just twice now.
Never so. Say never, they say never, they say.
How's it going?
It's going okay.
What'd you guys do this weekend?
I have basically done nothing except for work and watch movies. Oh, that's not true at all. We played a board game. It was fucking great.
Oh, yeah, we played a board game. It was all right.
Yeah. I bet you think it was great.
I just think it's cool. Dominant species.
Spoiler alert. The dominant species is Kevin. Because it is a board game. Yeah, Kevin's. There were aquatic Kevins. There were octopus Kevins. There were the nine-dicked jungle Kevins.
I ate only meat for most of the game.
Yeah. Skulls.
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 Yeah. That is the worst icon that is then called meat. I don't get it.
Well, it used to be meat.
Yeah. I don't even think a lot of mammals, like a lot of mammals are herbivores, so I don't even understand why.
No, you ate the animal is the point there. The bone is, the skull is all that's left because you ate the scalp.
Right.
So you're a scalpivore.
I don't think we're talking about the same thing. Anyway, dominant species is
you're saying that a skull is a bad icon for meat.
Yes.
Because things with skulls don't always eat meat. What I'm saying is that it is a good icon because things with skulls are always made of meat in addition to skulls.
But the skulls themselves are, by definition, not meat. Everything, all the other icons are of the thing that they are representing, right? Like, grubs are actually grubs, and grass is actually grass.
So, the sunlight, you're saying that the picture of the sun is bad because the sun is not itself sunlight. So, it should have been an icon of sunlight.
No. It's sun. It's not sunlight.
We were playing it indoors, so it wasn't sunlight.
No, I didn't say it was sunlight. I said it was sun.
Mm-hmm. Dominant species is pretty fun. It's really complicated. There's a lot of cubes and cylinders.
Yep.
And cones.
Cones and some hexes.
Yeah, you made a funny joke while we were playing.
I don't know that I think it was that funny.
It was pretty funny.
There was a rod and a cone, and I made a joke about vision.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is where the magic happens.
Yes.
At night, at my house, around a table with too few chairs.
There's only one too few chairs.
Just enough beers.
But we were standing. The two of us eschewed the chairs, the extra chair that was there.
Neither of us wanted to be the prick that sat in the last chair.
I guess.
We're too polite is the problem. That's the problem that most people have with me is that I'm way too nice a guy.
Yeah.
That's what I find. So we played that. Did you, what movies that you watched? I
watched How Beer Saved the World. Which was kind of terrible. It was kind of this, it was like made for Discovery Channel documentary that was trying to make the argument that beer caused all of the major changes in human history.
Sounds kind of dubious.
I mean, it was saying that like beer caused...
The move from agricultural to agrarian.
From hunter-gatherers.
From nomadic to agrarian.
To agrarian is what they're claiming, which may be true, but I'm not sure. And then the claim that beer also invented capitalism. And what was another one that they said? Beer invented the modern production line and factory system. Hmm. And also, what else was there?
Isn't that cars?
There was a fully automated factory producing beer bottles 10 years before Ford did anything with cars. So, I mean, you know, like, it wasn't that they were, like, completely just making shit up. It was just that the...
Here's a bunch of important stuff happened. Also beer.
Yeah.
Therefore.
You know, beer as medicine. Apparently, in the particular strain of beer that the Egyptians were drinking, it also had like
ergot.
Not ergot.
Which caused the Egyptian witch trials.
Tetracycline. It also had a bunch of tetracycline in it, which was like this, like the world's first antibiotic.
Okay.
Apparently.
It is a panacea.
Yeah.
It'll put a panis in you. On you? Would you say you have a panis in you or on
Anya.
You when you have a panis?
I think it's on you.
I don't think your friend Anya is that heavy.
Sometimes there can be Anyas that are heavy, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So that was, I watched that. I watched Word Wars, a documentary about the 2002 or 2003 National Scrabble Championship.
Okay.
Which was interesting. I mean, I kind of was watching that as research, because I was wondering if there'd be anything interesting that I could glean from competitive Scrabble playing. And there really isn't all that much.
Was it a lot of middle-aged women?
No.
That's what King of the Hill led me to believe.
Well, I mean, there were some middle-aged women competing, but almost all the top players are men. In the top 50 or top 100, there's never been more than six in the top 100 as women. And there's been as few as three. And
I guess only men are willing to like take off time from actual important stuff to go to Scrabble tournaments halfway across
well,
the country.
Well, it's also the fact that
yeah, that men aren't as readily willing to play as cutthroat as you have to play to.
There's a lot of theories. It's levels. Also the fact that almost all the top Scrabble players in the country are really poor because they basically are spending 6 hours a day trying to get better at playing Scrabble instead of actually holding down a job.
You don't think it's one? Do they smoke cigarettes? Smoking cigarettes a symptom of poverty or is it a cause of poverty?
That's a good question.
Maybe smoking cigarettes is a symptom of cancer.
Yeah, I guess we can't really determine cause and effect just because of a temporal
What's
relationship.
What's the pot? What do you win if you're the best Scrabble player in the world?
At the national championships 10 years ago, $25,000.
That's not a lot of money dedicated a whole lot of time to.
Yeah, they followed guys for 9 months leading up to the national championship, and they went to tournaments where the first place prize was like $800. And these people would travel to these tournaments. So almost everybody is out all the money for travel and lodging just getting there.
I mean, there's ancillary benefits. You got all the Scrabble groupies.
Yeah, sure.
That sweet, sweet Scrabble puss. That's what they call it.
Scrabble puss was my favorite Hanna-Barbera character.
Get a little hard Scrabble.
It was not as compelling a documentary as either of the other sort of word-related...
The Spelling Bee one
Spellbound,
or the crossword puzzle.
Or Wordplay. Yeah, those are the two.
So Spellbound, Wordplay, Word War.
Yeah, Word Wars, I think. In that order, I would say you should watch documentaries about people spelling things.
Hands on a Hard Scrabble.
Yep. You've never seen Hands on a Hard Body?
I've never seen Hands on a Hard Body.
That's pretty good. That's a great documentary.
That's the documentary about the people who are the best in the world at touching a thing for a long time.
Yep. While standing and not sleeping. Yep. Indeed.
Shit. I was reminded of something while you were talking about that.
I watched a bunch of other movies too, but they're...
I heard you watching Braveheart when I couldn't sleep at 3 a.m. because of the Braveheart music blaring in the house. I was like, what is that music from? All right.
It was the fact that you couldn't place
probably
it.
Probably Braveheart. What are those disembowelments from? Right. I recognize the sound of that disembowelment, but I can't place which disembowelment movie.
I read the Wikipedia article about Braveheart, and apparently it is just one of the worst historical movies. in terms of how factual it was. Yeah.
Worse than Dances with Wolves.
Probably. Yeah.
Worse than Mad Max.
Isn't that a future movie? Isn't that
probably not anymore?
Oh, you think it was?
Yeah. They were still driving cars from the '70s.
Well, but I mean, those are the cars that will probably still be working in 20 years, right?
I don't know that that's a safe assumption. I think the reason that you think that old things were made better than newer things is that you see all of the old things that are still running.
I think those are things that people can actually repair, because I don't think you can repair a microprocessor in a modern car. And once that thing fails, the car just won't work.
Sure, you get some coat hanger wire and some super glue, and you can fix any circuit.
Huh.
This is something that I've learned.
Duct tape.
What you need, what I've learned from the secret world, is to fix a circuit. What you need is a monocle with various colored lenses in it, and then to run around the haunted amusement park to find the rides that match up with the diode, the inverter, the resistor, and then ultimately the AC power source,
okay.
Which is a shed.
Yeah, I think this might explain why it takes a long time for you to get your laptop repaired.
Yeah, well, I just have to take it to the haunted amusement park.
Right.
Wait for the bogeyman. I don't like that boogeyman is spelled B-O-G-E-Y-M-A-N, because then I think, well, is that a man who was won over the number of holes he was supposed to swing?
I think boogeyman and bogeyman are totally different things.
I don't think that they are.
Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah, the Humphrey Bogart. Or a British man made of boogers.
Yep.
Because they call them bogeys.
I don't think
Do they think that it is funny when a golf man, sorry, American football man gets one over the number of holes he was supposed to swing, and they call it a booger, and the British people are like, ha, 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 ha. Do they have anything like that in cricket, where there's a word in cricket where it's an American word that's super hilarious?
I think you can score a cunt waffle.
A cunt waffle, yeah. good.
That's a lie.
You get a shit gristle. A grundle shunt.
Yes, grundle shunt.
Well, they call it the grundle, right? They play on the grundle. The space between the stick and the hole in cricket is referred to as the grundle, or the, what is it, the fans sit in the batch. And what else? There's another word. There's grundle, taint, and something else.
Yeah. Shart town?
Shart runway?
Totes Shart town.
Yeah. Let's move on. Have you guys been playing any video games?
Yeah, I've been playing a few video games.
What have you been playing, Riff? Do it.
I played, I played 30 Flights 11, which is, I mean, it's almost not a game. It's really just, it's more of an interactive story experience, but it's awesome. Sequel to Gravity Bone. It's one excellent little story, and I was very impressed at how much I cared about the characters over 5 minutes of no dialogue animation.
I didn't really understand the story, I don't think.
I've not yet played it.
There was a part where you have a luggage cart, a guy with some guns.
Yeah.
There's gameplay there. There's points where you have to aim the cursor at dudes to shoot them.
I don't think you actually have to do that.
Definitionally a game. Really?
Yeah, you just run around the room and eventually that dude will shoot all the
Well, I think you run guns. Around the room long enough that you've accidentally aimed at all the dudes.
I guess that's possible. Sure.
I don't know. Maybe I just felt like I had agency. So it's good. It's good that I was tricked. Drank a lot of booze.
Yeah.
In the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bottles you can click on and they all can drink.
Yep.
Them.
You can spend a lot of time taking bullets out of boxes.
Yep. That's pretty good.
Okay.
Peeling an orange. Accidentally taking an orange with you into the next cutscene and still having it, and then eating it before you can get out of that flashback.
Huh.
That's odd.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Maybe I should play it again, or maybe I just have, I don't have the right kind of brain for symbolism and stories.
I don't know that it was particularly that's why I don't care about stories. Of anything.
No, I just always have a hard time understanding anything that is at all sophisticated. If it doesn't have boobs or poop in it, it's probably not a movie that I will understand. I mean,
does the color brown represent
if the
paralysis?
Characters weren't entirely square, that woman would probably have had pretty good boobs.
Does why would brown represent paralysis?
That's a James Joyce thing.
Oh, okay.
I also started playing Serious Sam 3.
Is that the new one?
Yeah, it's pretty good if you like a first person shooter and are as sick of third person chest high wall shooters as I am. I wanted to shoot some goddamn aliens.
What chest high wall shooters have you been playing?
All the like Mass Effect and.
Did you play Mass Effect 3 ever?
No, I played 2.
Mm.
Huh.
Didn't really enjoy.
You played on your Macintosh. Tops?
I don't think it. Oh, Serious Sam, I played on the Macintosh. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, it's pretty good. But it is like.
mean, it's just like hordes of enemies, right? Like it's boiling down the first person shooter to just these shooting dudes.
Yeah.
And you can like pile guns on top of other guns and stuff.
Right? No, I don't think so. I think that's just in the 2D flash thing they also did.
No. I thought that the whole thing in Serious Sam 3 was that you could get that clip that allowed you to stack guns on top of other guns.
I think that's
guns.
Just the 2D thing. Or at least I haven't gotten as far if that is in Serious Sam 3. But yeah,
maybe you didn't solve the secret puzzle.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't got very far. I'm stuck at the end of level 3.
Are you still in Egypt?
Just a giant, or Kabul or wherever it is. Yeah,
Kabbalah.
Yeah, just a giant arena with hordes and hordes and waves of enemies that I tried like 6 or 7 times and couldn't beat it. So I went
Madonna
to play
skeletons.
Half-Life 2 instead, which is the style of FPS that I prefer. Because I can shoot a guy who's so far away, you can see about 3 pixels of him with your extremely accurate pistol.
If you hit the top pixel, is it a headshot?
Probably, yeah.
Nice.
Do you earn the achievement top pixel?
Top pixel?
For being the best at video games.
But yeah, I like to creep around real slow and peek around the corners and snipe dudes from a long way away. So I prefer Half-Life 2 to Serious
that shit
Sam
is
3.
Boring.
But they're still
you also
good.
Like sneaking around, moving real slow, and quick loading a lot.
No,
games
it's tense. I don't quick load much. I don't.
It's not tense.
You sneak boring. Around. You in World of Warcraft would walk around the game in stealth.
Often, yeah. Not so much recently, but yeah.
Because you're always playing a female character, and you don't want dudes coming up asking you for boobs.
Asking me for boobs? Just here.
Yeah, well, they see on your armory profile that your profession is boob crafting. And so they assume
just
that.
Just hand it one of those little white cardboard Chinese takeout cartons.
Yeah. How many boobs you want? We were going to pitch a movie to the Troma team. And we decided that the one thing that Troma likes is boobs and zombies. One of our guys has been slowly developing a relationship with Troma over comic cons and just waiting for the right moment to pitch Boob Zombies, which is a movie that starts with the dumpster behind a mastectomy clinic being struck by lightning.
Right.
That's awesome.
It's going to be pretty good. It's going to have everything that everybody wants. People like boobs, right? So disembodied, gross cancer boobs attacking a dude. It's like, yeah, I wish I was that dude. What else?
That's about it other than World of Warcraft. I finally got enough item levels to qualify for the Raid Finder.
Oh, yeah? How's that been?
It's pretty good. The only time so far, but the first time I went through the Raid Finder, I managed to score the Raid Finder version of my best-in-slot weapon. So
okay.
That was cool. Yep.
What is it?
It is called Kirill, Fury of Beasts, and it is a giant polearm that looks more like a really fucked up and crazy axe that has a sort of drippy ice blue effect on it.
Huh.
And it has a proc that makes you grow real big and do more damage.
What is like when you say the Raid Finder's version of your best thing? Like, how does that work?
Okay, so the only raid in the Raid Finder right now is Dragon Soul, which is I guess it's 2 raids because it's 2 wings of the same thing.
Because the dragon has 2 wings.
Yeah, and it is so Dragon Soul. Normally, you've got 10 and 25 man in both normal and hardcore version.
Okay.
But the Raid Finder version is a 25 man that is easier than the normal 25 man.
Okay.
And so consequently all the gear that drops in Dragon Soul, whichever version, is thematically the same gear, just with different item level.
Slightly different stats.
Yeah, slightly
different
stats.
Do they have
different
names or something? I mean, is
they
it
have
like
the same name, but at least for this polearm, they're different colors.
Like Quizzle, Fury of Beasts, and in parentheses, Pussy Edition.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Light.
It's like it says Raid Finder in green on the description card thing.
Weird.
And it's light blue instead of the hardcore version is bright orange, I think.
After you defeat the dragon's 2 wings, do you get to fight the dragon's hole? That was kind of, C'Thun was sort of like a giant, fighting a giant butthole, right?
Yeah, with an eye.
Occasionally you would go inside it and have to tickle hemorrhoids until you were injected.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. I never did that. I never did that boss fight.
It's one, probably one of the few, like one of the boss fights that the fewest number of people have played. It was like at the end of a really hard sequence, and they haven't, as far as I know, they haven't like...
Well, I mean, can't you go one man at now?
Probably not. Almost all that stuff was really complicated.
No, C'Thun, you can technically cannot one man because there's like somebody has to not be inside it when it does a certain attack that it does when somebody is inside it or something. So just by the way it works mechanically, you have to have at least two people.
Yeah. And I feel like a bunch of the fights before that were also pretty tricky. But yeah, hell if I know.
I walked into there once and immediately got killed by some giant Anubis.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. I like the theming of that.
They were like, stuff. Now we know who Anub is. It's you who just got killed by us.
Hmm. I have a.
They actually said that, and I was
bug
like,
mount from that
game.
Place that you can only use inside there. It's pretty cool.
Not super useful anymore.
No,
you could trick the game into thinking you're always inside on Courage.
Yeah. I've played some iOS games.
Like what?
Stuff that I've already talked about a little bit. I have continued to play Kingdom Rush. I've gotten, I think, 69 of the stars at this point, maybe 68.
I quit as soon as I wasn't getting paid for it.
Yeah. I had been having trouble getting past, like, on those last three levels that open up after you beat the, like, narrative of the game. I've been having a hard time. I've got 66, I guess, stars. And I finally was able to beat two of them. And so I think I'm still trying to beat the last one of the three. And I haven't done all the challenge modes on all those yet. I still find it pretty fun, you know? I feel like their difficulty curve is really good in that, like, I was able to beat the game but couldn't beat everything on hard, like, on their normal mode. And then... I've been going through these on easy, and it's still kind of challenging, but they're, like, doable.
The level after the Yeti level, even on easy, I just could never beat it. Like, those skeleton, the guys that summon the skeletons come in, and then they just stand out of reach of your towers and keep summoning skeletons until you get
overwhelmed
not by the skeletons, but by the next waves that go through them.
I
don't know if, like, there's a trick, like maybe there's two. You could take a hero in and kill the Necroman.
You could do heroes. I kill them oftentimes with the highest level legionnaires, like the dudes that you can put in every 30 seconds or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But also archer towers that have been fully upgraded so that they poison will kill them really fast because they don't even bother hitting skeletons because skeletons can't be poisoned.
Okay.
And so they'll just destroy the necromancers. And then I've been continuing to play that puzzle game Fusio. I was just sort of going through linearly, just doing every puzzle in turn, even though sometimes they would like hold me up for a while. And I got to this one puzzle where I just could not beat it. And I spent quite a bit of time, and it was doubly frustrating because there were only three pieces you could interact with at all. And spent a lot of time, and I was like, screw it. I'm just going to look up the solution to this online because, like, what the fuck? And I finally found a forum where somebody was talking about it, and the creator was like, oh, yeah, that one's currently unsolvable. And I was like, wow, you've just destroyed all of my faith in your ability to write puzzles. So then I just started sort of jumping around. Well,
you're a capricious son
not
of a
capricious.
Bitch.
Like you release a thing that has even a single unsolvable
puzzle. Yeah, one mistake, boy.
Yep.
One time you were dating that girl and she ate a single cookie and you were like, that's it, I'm out.
Yep. Well, I mean, that's how a lot of my previous relationships have ended.
I mean, how does anyone eat one cookie?
I know, right? If you don't eat the whole box / bag,
if you can't fit more than that in your mouth, this is not going anywhere.
So then I just started jumping around. And, like, I've actually... jumping around and just solving them sort of at random has been more satisfying because a lot of them are... their progression is not very good from, like, easy to hard. Some of the later levels are much, much easier.
I found that to be the case when I was poking around at it.
So at this point, I've solved almost everything. There's, like, three or four on each.
Did you buy the extra puzzle packs?
Oh, I don't know. Are there extra puzzle packs?
Well, wasn't the game free and then you could buy extra puzzle packs?
I don't know. I don't... I didn't see any in-app purchases. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and ICPs, they call those.
Yeah. The only other game that I have had time to play is a game that you tipped me on to, which was Askievania.
Yeah.
It's a Flash game.
Well, how you can is play that? I just heard about on, that today.
Congregate. It was great. It was really, really great.
It was really... I thought I quit playing it before I was able right. to beat it because I was stuck because I forgot that bleak was a word.
Yep.
You start out, you tell the game your name, and I was like, my name is Blyman. And so it turns you into a bee. And then you go around in this ASCII castle. It's like side view 2D, and there are letters. And if you get up against them and make a word out of yourself plus the letters, then that will disappear. So like you as a letter are sort of the key to a lock that is the rest of a word that starts with you.
Okay.
But then you acquire more letters as the game goes along. And are able to go more and more places, and it's just in
you
one
can
big sort of
other format. Letters.
You can, yeah, okay. You can transform into any of the letters that you've acquired.
Yeah. And the point of the game is to collect the whole yeah. alphabet.
Huh. And you get a jump, and then you get a double jump, and then you get a gravity flip.
Yep.
And it's pretty good.
It's really surprisingly good. It is like a fun platformer kind of game plus a word game in sort of a new novel context that I really enjoyed. The level design was pretty smart.
I forgot the word bleak. I thought I was stuck because I thought I had gotten through one direction, a thing that I couldn't get back through the other direction.
Yeah, you assume that there was a fault. This is sort of the same issue, right? Like, you did not have faith in the game's designer to have thought of every possible contingency, and you're like, oh, I've gotten to a point where they just hadn't planned for this particular situation. Like, because I started with a name that started with the letter B, they did not expect... Oh, no, that wasn't the actual problem. Never mind.
Well, you did. You can get stuck on, like, the third screen.
Sure.
If you pick a letter in your name that forms a word with one of the words, one of the letters that's on the floor before you get the ability to jump,
yeah,
and then you stand there, you can fall into the hole that you left behind and then just be stuck.
Yeah, that is true.
Which is...
But you can that early on, you can just hit escape to restart. So,
yeah,
it's definitely worth playing. It, you know, it's 10 minutes, 20 minutes of your life, and I think you'll be glad that you spent it. Figuring out some of the stuff is really neat. Like, there's a whole region of it that like.
Sometimes they'll be like crossword sort of things, yeah, and you'll have to figure out what letters will allow you to like. Cut out a gap in one word but not lock you out of completing that word differently, either by the like turning into the letter that you removed or turning into a different letter that also completes the word, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a very clever concept.
That guy's website has two games on it, and that's it. The entire website is two links, one from last week to a game and then one from this week to this game.
Wow.
So I don't know if he's just putting out a game a week.
That'd be a pretty great project. If this is his second game, then
yeah,
more power to him. So yeah, that's all I've had time to play, other than tons and tons of buggy word realms.
Yeah, buggy word realms. It's a buggy race. We put in a buggy race minigame.
Yep. Tried to play a little bit today, and the game just was super broken.
Yeah. We were trying to add content to it, and content is the thing that is always broken.
Yes.
Trying to make a guy... Well, we did make this guy so you couldn't use scrolls against him by making it so you couldn't play the game up to the point where you acquired any scrolls or encountered him.
Yep.
Scrolls. Do you think we're going to get sued by Notch because we have scrolls in our game?
I think so.
Or for a patent violation?
I saw... This is unrelated, but I saw a website that is like gamestm.co.uk or whatever, and like they were... They call themselves Games TM, like trademark. And I was like, so you've trademarked the word games in relationship to a like news website about games. I don't think that's how that works. I don't think you can do that, right?
Maybe their trademark is on Games Trademark.
Or Gamest M.
Games TM TM.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Sure, why not?
Wonder, could you start a company called Copyright 1999 Apple Inc.? It's not Apple.
Right.
Made in California by Apple.com.
I don't know. I don't know that you could.
You're supposed to come up with an example. That's how this kind of thing works.
What?
I played a bunch of Field Runners too.
Yeah.
Which actually brought something new to tower defense, as far as I know.
Uh-oh.
A sequel?
Two new things. Yeah, there's never been a sequel to a tower defense game before. Balloon. There were like 90 balloons towers.
99 Luft balloons.
The two things
yes.
that I had not encountered before. One was maps that were a hybrid of fixed path and free roaming build your own maze thing, where there was a fixed path, but then there were bridges over it, and some enemies would come out onto the space around the map, and so you had to path them using towers that also would cover the trench. Huh. Because guys would come through both of them at the same time, which made it a little challenging. And then bridges with tunnels through them. So there would be three spaces on the thing where you couldn't build any towers, but mobs could pass through the three in one direction and through the center of the three in the other direction. So it does really weird things to the topology. You can run people through a lot more of that space than you would be able to.
In a much smaller, like more compact.
Yeah. And it like the later levels have a lot of that kind of stuff, and it gets really like kind of brain bending about how, like, you know, for the most part, you can, through a little bit of experimentation, figure out how to make the longest path through a thing. And Field Runners was always sort of about making the longest path and also having enough focused fire across the center that you could get the airplanes.
Yeah.
That we're going across.
Right.
There are landmines that also hit airplanes, and they make a joke about that. Huh. The tooltips have a lot of jokes in them.
Okay.
I don't know. It's I wish that it were slightly less graphically polished in exchange for a lot less and a lot fewer load times.
You're on relatively old iPhone hardware at this point, right?
I'm on the generation current generation.
Two entire years.
Jesus Christ. Is the light on my hand blinking already? Because I still... Yep. It's still magic.
Because you're out of time.
It's still magical. I wish that just once I was Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
For just like a few minutes. If I were Justin Timberlake, I would just stand there looking at myself in the mirror for the whole time I was Justin Timberlake. It'd be like Freaky Friday where Justin Timberlake doesn't go anywhere. That is freaky because he's a busy dude. Justin Timberlake, man. He seems like he's probably a pretty cool guy.
Yeah, I think he'd probably be fun to hang
out with. Based on his Saturday Night Live appearances.
Yep.
Who do you think would win in a fight between Justin Timberlake and Alec Baldwin?
Oh. Ooh.
And it's a Saturday Night Live hosting fight.
Oh. I'd have to go with Alec Baldwin.
Yeah,
Baldwin. Steve Martin kills the winner.
Ritual sacrifice.
Feasts on their corpse.
In that case, I think Alec Baldwin would be smart enough to throw the match.
Ooh.
So that Steve Martin eats the other guy.
Well, Alec Baldwin would let Justin Timberlake kill him so that Steve Martin would have to eat
Justin Timberlake? Death? I didn't.
Yeah, you didn't make it clear that the first match was a death battle.
I said it was a fight. It's always all there. Look, I don't do anything half-ass.
Apparently.
Fights are to the death. That's why my girlfriend and I have never gotten in a fight. You know how you can tell?
Both still alive.
Yeah.
You do get new girlfriends every week, though. So
yeah, well, I mean.
We don't actually know that the other ones are not.
You just defrost another one.
Yeah, they're clones. Yeah. It's like the Ewan McGregor. I get one from Ewan McGregor Island. If you get a new girlfriend every week that looked like a Scarlett Johansson at the age she was when she filmed The Island, you would do it.
The Island.
I mean, would you need a new one every week? Well, they would start to pile up. I don't know if I could use up an entire Scarlett Johansson in the course of a single week.
Well, you could put her in the contest and feed her to Steve Martin.
The most dangerous game.
Steve Martin has, like, I mean, it's not his fault. He had the... When he was working in the magic shop at Disneyland, he accidentally tried to do a magic trick for an old gypsy woman who was allergic to magic.
She was extremely offended by arrows through the head.
Yep.
Because all of her family had died that way.
By incorrectly applying a fake arrow hat to their head.
Yes.
Wait a minute, which way is this supposed to... Again?
That's a tragic tale.
Yeah, so he got this curse where he has to keep feeding on other celebrities to stay funny. There was that weird, there was that period of time, like when LA Story came out, like he was trying to go vegetarian, and it was like, that shit wasn't funny at all.
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe all those Parenthood movies or...
Oh, come on.
Oh, that was...
Parenthood was great. Parenthood was awesome.
Maybe I'm thinking of a different one.
30-something?
You're thinking of Uncle Buck?
No, Uncle Buck was good.
Shop Girl.
No, Shop Girl was a great book.
Uncle Buck and Aunt Beru.
No, he did a bunch of really shitty family comedies.
Oh, yeah. A Dozen is Enough. Or what was the one where, like, it was like, I had 40 kids with Queen Latifah.
Yeah, yeah.
Cheaper by the Dozen? I think maybe Cheaper by the Dozen. And then the sequel was Cheaper by the Baker's Dozen. And then like Cheaper by...
Father of the Bride. Yeah, and then... three, and four.
Cheaper by the Triple Dozen, by which we mean 14. It's just that there's not really a word for 14 that has dozen in it.
What's a super baker? It's a super baker dozen.
Okay, it's two. It's a double baker dozen.
Yeah.
It's a Studebaker dozen.
Studebaker dozen. There you go.
A Tammy Faye Baker's dozen. Didn't one of those have Queen Latifah in it? Didn't he do some ridiculous movie with Queen Latifah?
If it wasn't Queen Latifah, it was some other large, sassy black lady.
I think there's only that one.
Yeah, I think in all the world.
She's unionized, so she gets to play all of the large, sassy black lady roles.
She has just consumed all the other sassy black ladies.
Hey,
she is the one.
It's okay for me to make that joke about Steve Martin because he's not overweight. It's hurtful for you to make that joke about Queen Latifah.
What? That he has consumed all the other comedians?
Not comedians. Scarlett Johansson. You'll note that I've said that he would consume Scarlett Johansson and Justin Timberlake.
You said neither that of which he is had a comedian. To consume other comedians.
He had to consume other celebrities in order to be funny.
I thought you
funny.
Said comedians nope. to remain to stay funny.
No. Kevin. Okay.
I'm not paying attention.
You gotta pay more attention.
Keep up.
The reason that I know all of these things about the secrets of the world and the secret things that are going on in the world and the secret world that is on the other side of uh-huh. the mirrors in our world,
right.
Is that I've been playing a lot of Anarchy Online.
Oh, well, that
which
explains
is,
it.
Which, because Anarchy Online sucks ass, it's given me a lot of time to read books.
Funcom oh, by
like Stephen,
made
Stephen,
in
Stephen
California.
Biography.
Who's?
Steve Martin.
Oh. I thought you said Steve McQueen.
You could also read his biography. Does he? He probably has a biography.
Oh, I'm sure. Do you think he wrote an autobiography?
Well, he was into cars.
Okay. The Pixar movie.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He was a big future fan of that.
Well, he had a mirror that let him see movies from the future, and that's how like the reason.
Oh my
that,
God! Wait, maybe that character. In that Cars movie is named after him. Maybe that's like his soul
downloaded,
transported, or downloaded from the past somehow
into yeah. Pixar's servers.
Yeah,
it sucks. All of the souls that were downloaded into that initial copy of Toy Story 2 that they deleted.
Oh,
yeah,
oh,
man.
Oh man,
imagine that
they deleted.
Imagine
Toy Story
you get your
2?
Consciousness uploaded
so
into a
Tom
computer
Hanks
and you're
is
finally
just like some
good.
Kind of zombie.
No, Tom Hanks is still alive.
What is this oh. deleted? Deleted.
They deleted a copy of Toy Story 2 because they were just like, fuck this. I've had it, they said.
Fuck toys.
No, Steve McQueen had that mirror that he could see movies from the future, and that's why when they were about to film Bullet, he was like, you guys, I have a fucking sweet idea. There is a thing that is going to be really, really big in movies in the future, and it's called a car chase. And they said, what? A what chase? And he said a car chase. They were like, oh, cars. Those, okay, I know what those are. And he's like, you think you know what cars are, but you don't really know what cars are yet. And they said, what, Steve? And he said, yet. Kind of winked. His trademark Steve McQueen. I've seen the future, and you have no idea what I'm talking about, but I totally do wink.
Trademark.
Yeah, it's yeah, a yeah. trademark wink. He got a prison tattoo of a TM next to his eye. And they were like, does that mean that you killed somebody named Tom Manx? And he was like, nope. It's no. because I have a trademark wink.
Trademark on killing people.
Well, somebody whose name starts with Toni Morrison. Did you get that tattoo after you murdered Toni Morrison?
You get T and on yeah. one eyelid and M on the other eyelid. It'd be a, I guess it'd be a trademark blink.
Yeah, a trademark wink series.
Wink Martindale.
Anyway, what did Toni Morrison wrote like Waiting to Exhale, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
okay. She's going to be waiting a lot longer now that Steve McQueen murdered her with a wink.
What were we talking about?
The secret world, how I learned the way that I learned all these secrets was by swinging a sledgehammer at dudes.
What is up with the sledgehammer, man?
It rules. You can set shit on fire with it, with molten steel. I think that's also like a trademarked glance.
Okay.
By Ben Stiller, or is that's cold, not hot?
Yeah.
Was there somebody that could set stuff on fire by being attractive?
Well, there were those models that were filling up their Jeep at the gas station.
But I think that was more they set things on fire by covering them with gas and then igniting the gas.
But they were also attractive,
through conventional methods. Yeah, but they'd... I guess there's Drew Barrymore. Drew Barrymore was able to set things on fire by being a cute and precocious child.
Right.
That movie freaked me out. I tried to see it in the theater when it came out as a little kid, but I couldn't sit through it. I had to go out and hang out in the video game lounge while my parents finished watching it.
So I would have done that anyway.
What's the girl's name in Hellboy? She also had that power.
Oh yeah.
That's not. It's one of the. Like, is it Nev Campbell? Was Nev?
It was not Nev Campbell.
It was not Nev Campbell.
But I know what you're saying. Yeah, I don't remember.
Doesn't that girl kind of look like Nev Campbell?
Vaguely.
She's in some other stuff.
Yes.
Like movies.
I can't think.
She sometimes plays the dark-haired girl.
Right. Or Raven.
Do you think they cast her as that woman who could set things on fire with her mind because of her smoldering good looks?
It's possible.
Anyway, there's also The Craft.
Yes.
Fairuza Balk.
Robin Tunney. Yeah, Robin Tunney and Fairuza Balk putting snakes on things.
Yep.
That was initially the title, Putting Snakes on Things, the movie.
Selma Blair.
Okay.
Is she related to Linda Blair?
Or Selma Hayek?
I don't know. She was in Cruel Intentions.
I mean, that's what I was thinking of. Was she in Cruel Intentions with Nev Campbell?
Maybe, actually.
Anyway, The Secret World is a pretty good movie starring Steve McQueen, Fairuza Balk, and Tom Hanks.
Steve Martin and Tom Hanks. I don't know where I am anymore.
It's a good video game, though. I just keep playing it, and I keep being into it. I had two things written down that I wanted to talk about this. One was one of the more positive MMO experiences that I have ever had. I thought that maybe I was high enough level that I could just randomly assemble a group for this instance, irrespective of role, like not bother finding a tank or a healer, but just saying like, hey, anybody want to try and run this thing? I don't even fucking know what role I am. That's what I said. I was like, I got a hammer, but I don't have a tank hammer. It's like not, it's not like a threatening hammer. It's more like a hot hammer, I guess. And they're like, okay, we'll go to the boat, the haunted boat with you. And we went to the haunted boat, and we kept trying to kill things. And then when we couldn't kill them, I was like, I could probably pretend like I was the tank. Can somebody else pretend like they're the healer? And we all had some skill points left over, so we put some skill points into some skills, and then I became a tank, and then they became a healer, and then the other people just stayed confused, and then we beat the instance. And it took a bunch of tries, but we did it.
Nice.
And everybody stuck around, and nobody like called everybody else a faggot and logged off, abandoning us in the haunted boat.
Awesome.
Halfway through. And it was pretty good. We killed Cthulhu, and somebody got, an axe or something.
Do you think that you have more positive experiences because it is a relatively new MMO, and thus there aren't a bunch of people that feel like they're entitled, because if you were serious about this video game, you would have just read every encounter on the wiki or whatever, and like...
I mean, I think the encounters are already written up on wikis.
Sure, but like...
I don't know. I think people come into modern MMOs pre-entitled, which I think is to a certain extent, my theory on what has happened with the Old Republic.
Okay.
Is that people aren't treating it like a release game. They're treating it like it needs to have everything that World of Warcraft has, because that's the... sort of scope that it's shooting for. Whereas I think people, nobody expected Funcom to produce an MMO that was even playable. Yeah, much less good. And I think that this has just exceeded, the Secret World has exceeded expectations by such a wide margin, because everybody either didn't know anything about it at all, so expected nothing, or right, expected it to be another Funcom fiasco. And since it is neither, I mean, maybe people are just a little more forgiving about things. I don't know. It's there are definitely, like, my in the during the beta weekend, so this was interesting, during the beta weekend, which was free to anybody who signed up for it, that was when I got ripped into for saying, hey, maybe I, you know,
oh, right,
I wish people would not spoil stuff in the chat. I've not seen like any just assholes in chat yelling at dudes. You know, I mean, I saw people getting into some like weird political arguments.
Okay.
And I don't know, some of it was like people talking about the real Illuminati, and I couldn't tell if they were being serious or not.
Huh.
I'm guessing that there are a lot of people in your average MMO community that believe that there is a real Illuminati in there pulling the strings, and then it's like that, no, maybe by playing this game I will actually learn something about them and be able to join their ranks. Oh man, I forgot to tell you guys. I saw the best nerd today.
Yeah?
I was at Target waiting to see, this is waiting to get a prescription for nasal spray filled. So
nice.
I know from nerd, guys. And I was sitting inside the Starbucks at the Target, facing a window. And outside the window there was like an old school Schwinn bicycle chained up. And this guy came out who was the owner of the bicycle, and he was probably 50. Giant Coke bottle glasses, giant gut, giant bushy white mustache, like full on utility belt. I am guessing that he had 7 or 8 good sized leather and nylon pouches on his belt with various, you know, I didn't even see what was in them. He had a big ring of keys on like a stretchy lanyard that was connected to something else on his belt, threw a coffee table book about Star Trek ships into the basket on the front of his bike, and then reached under and kicked the kickstand up from the wrong direction, and then rode off on his bike.
Huh.
Pretty great. I kind of wanted to go out and talk. I was like, you look pretty cool. Let's talk about what's in your utility belt. Because I really want to know what was in there. I mean, it could have just been like a lot of asthma medication or whatever. Because like sometimes he gets lost.
EpiPens. And...
sure, yeah. It might be a bee out there.
Yeah.
Can you use an EpiPen if you get bitten by a Black Widow spider? I'm asking for a friend who is afraid of the Black Widow spiders infesting our office.
Yeah, I pushed that crate around the other day and was ready to stomp on anything that looked like a Black Widow spider, but I didn't see it.
Also, you were barefoot, so it's probably just as well.
Did you never kill the one that you saw?
I killed the original one that I saw, but later
oh,
on
you saw
I saw
another
a
one.
Second one.
Weird. Yeah. This supposed to be all solitary and whatnot.
Yeah, that's what I had heard.
Yeah, but I mean, they found out that you killed one, and so they were like, they sweet.
Oh, vacancy.
Free turf.
Yeah.
Free turf. That's what they say.
Huh.
Next to the pool.
That and
free surf.
What was it? Excellent pig. Best pig.
Some pig. Yeah, some yes. pig is what they write in there. Black Widow webs are shitty, though. They couldn't write anything if they tried. Hmm. They could maybe write, like, if they were trying to say, like, mustard stain or whatever, then they might be able to, like, approximate a mustard stain out of their web.
Hmm.
Like, sweet mustard stain on your shirt, Star Trek guy. Maybe one of your utility belt pouches has some mustard remover.
Black Widow spiders.
The mustard remover is just ketchup.
Well, sure. I mean, they're polar opposites.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It's like salt and pepper. If you get too much salt on something, just add some pepper. It'll be great.
The anti-salt.
If you have too much Garfunkel on something, you know what to do. We need to start homebrewing beer and be sure to get the right amount of Garfunkel in it.
Right.
So yeah, The Secret World is pretty good. I wish I could remember the other thing that I was going to talk about.
Was it that Monster Quest?
Oh yeah, it was. There was a sweet There was a sweet quest about, like, basically Monster Squad. There, you find out about these kids from the 80s who had set up a monster-slaying clubhouse, but then, you know, because the world is actually full of monsters, it turns out it was for real, like in Monster Squad, which
and
I never...
And all the kids got killed?
I never
brutally.
Actually saw Monster Squad. But you, like, go to this clubhouse, and it's like, you find a sheet of paper tacked to the wall that describes the League of Monster Slayers initiation ritual, and it's like, step one, go to Dead Person Canyon and click the dead person.
So, hey, buddy, you want to go click a dead body?
So I went and did that, and then it's like, oh, man, it's a zombie. Fuck. And then you kill it. And then it's like, find the shortcut to something else, and you go do that. And then it's like, spit in the black pool. And you actually have to go out into this pool and emote /spit to, awesome. So that your character will spit in the pool.
Oh, I love it
and
then, when things require emotes.
And then a guy,
quest.
And then like a spit monster comes out. And it's like, what the fuck? And you're like, wait, why are you attacking me? Like, you just, I'm the one that just set you free. But it's mad because it wants the rest of your spit. Hmm. It's like, my girlfriend is in there. Give her up. Then you kill that guy, and then you have to go somewhere else. And then you're an official member, and they give you the key to their super sophisticated electronic lock on their safe. But then it's like you call that into the Illuminati, and they're like, oh, sweet, we should see if any of those kids are still alive so that we can use them as agents. And then I don't know if they follow up on that ever, but... Yeah, and then they send you on another quest where you have to dig up their weapons from various piles of things that come to life and attack you. It's like, first we buried a weapon in the sandbox, and then it's like, whoop, sand monster. And then it's like, oh.
I buried my weapon in my dog.
Then we buried a weapon in the cotton candy machine. Oh, fuck, cotton candy elemental. It was pretty good.
Is that how that actually plays out?
Baseball golem. No, there's like gravel. They're more mundane. The kind of things you would bury something in, right? Like
a dog.
Sure.
A coffin.
Okay, yeah, coffin golem. I bet there's a coffin golem somewhere in this way. And it's like, and you're like, you just wait, and it eventually dies of cancer. That'd be pretty cool.
And just folds up into itself so you can bury it.
Yeah. That'd be a good, if you wanted to make an MMO with no combat in it, this is mostly an MMO about waiting for things to die of cancer.
Well, I mean, do you get radiation guns? Like,
no. Huh. No. You get more and more patience as you level up.
Okay.
It's kind of an unofficial system, you know.
Sure. So you're the doctor.
No, you're just a guy. Wait, I see, because of the patience that you said.
So
you need to eat some more celebrity corpses. Anyway, the secret world is fucking rad, and I kind of want to stop this horse shit so that I can go home and play it some more. But really, I need to go home and like edit podcasts and shit before I can responsibly play.
Yep.
I want to hit dudes with hammers. It's fun.
Just one hammer, though.
Well, but I mean, you get a different one sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes it's like, whoa.
Could you get
hammer.
Two of those little 5-pound sledgehammers and dual wield them?
Ooh, rubber! You get two
that'd
rubber,
awesome.
Two rubber mallets.
Oh, that'd be great.
Have like you can make a ham sandwich. That's what they call it when you take two hammers and you hit somebody on both sides of the head at the same time. It's a ham sandwich. Yeah,
you could.
That's how Mama Cass died.
Have like one like aluminum mallet and one meat tenderizer with the spikes.
Mm. Okay,
that'd be cool.
What would that do?
Just be cool
just
looking.
Two different things to dual wield.
Oh, I see. Okay. What other kinds of hammers are there?
Ball peen hammer.
A backwards hatchet. It's kind of like a hammer.
Yeah.
An MC hammer.
Sometimes you can use like the handle of a screwdriver in a pinch.
Mm-hmm. Heel of your shoe.
Hammer pants.
Okay. Parachute pants.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can't really dual wield pants though.
Well, one.
You could act like you were in
leg.
Two separate three-legged races.
Yeah.
Then you just have your junk hanging out, which I guess is a positive thing.
Why would you have to be in two separate three-legged races?
Well, because in a three-legged race, only one of your pants is half in a pants. Only one of your legs is half in a pants.
I don't know what kind of three-legged races you run.
The way that a three-legged race works is that there are two people wearing one pair of pants. I don't know if that's entirely not, but they're each wearing it on one leg. No, wait, how does this work? They're each wearing a pair of pants, but there's another pair of pants where each of them has one leg in the same pant leg of that pair of pants, and then there's two other people behind them in the other. So I guess that would be a six-legged race. I was never really at carnival.
Athletic.
What's in the news, Kevin?
Blizzard has announced the release date for Mists of Pandaria, the expansion to World of Warcraft.
They have pre-orders out for the digital versions of the regular and collector's editions.
Well, you can pre-order digital collector's edition?
Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous.
That's weird. I mean, they're a lot. You know, they do that a lot, right? Where you can pay more to get some crazy shit.
They never. So Amazon has never carried the collector's edition of Diablo 3.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that means. Did they just opt to not let the major retailers sell it?
I don't know. You can only buy it at a mom and pop tabletop game store.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Penny Arcade announced their top ten indie games of the year.
I have not heard of almost any of these.
I have not heard of most of these. Yeah, there's either.
That's why I was kind of curious about this. Like I have heard of two of them.
So they are Cannon Brawl,
yeah.
Catch 22,
yeah.
Containment the Zombie Puzzler,
yep.
Deity,
yep.
Johann Sebastian Joust, which we saw.
Yeah. That one seems pretty fun.
Offspring Fling, Puzzle Juice, Splice, The Bridge, The Swapper.
Yeah. And I've seen Splice before. That one's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's on Steam. I haven't played it yet.
So I don't know anything about them, but...
Or, well, it's on
They look kind of
neat. We should look into them and see. I think Offspring Fling is that one. It's like a dating sim where you spend a summer trying to seduce Dexter from the Offspring.
Huh.
Okay.
He's real into planes, so knowing that helps you.
Okay.
So it's kind of like an ARG. You have to research things about the guys from Offspring. So that, like, you'll have to know, like, one of the guys from Offspring really enjoys ham sandwiches, and so you have to, like, find the ham and the Benadryl and make him a ham and Benadryl sandwich so that he'll go to sleep and leave you and Dexter alone so that you can have your fling.
Well, all right, then.
I think this is probably a pretty good game from what I've heard just now.
Is Puzzle Juice the one that you have to play it three times?
I think so. Mm. And then you win.
And then you win.
Yeah. I don't know much about
it. You play it three times and it summons Batman.
Yeah.
Batman, Batman and Mr. Mom, and then like eight clones of both Batman and Mr. Mom. And then that one where you teach your kid to shave even though you're dead. I can't think of any other Michael Keaton movies.
There was an exploit.
Shaving of the dead.
Yes. There was an exploit found in Diablo 3, where if you were a wizard, you could basically make yourself invincible, kill everything in the game. I don't know if that's still open or if they've closed that already.
Yeah, I never saw, like, they seem to have hushed up and they were like deleting forum posts where people were talking about it and stuff. I mean, I'm sure that if I actually searched for it for even a minute, I could find it, but I'm curious that it is a little surprising to me that they would have missed.
Well, it was a weird bug involving teleport and like the Archon transform. So
it was an actual bug. It wasn't wasn't just like a broken system.
No, it was like you were getting stuck in animation frames where you couldn't be hit or something like that.
Oh. So you were like a sweet dancing invincible wizard.
Well, it's these weird issues with animation, which are just a pain in the ass.
Yeah. Turns out if you're making a video game with animations in it, everything is a lot more fucking complicated and nothing ever works. And it's like, oh, sorry, everything has to go back to Wes to start over. And then it's like, now this sucks. It's like, why can't we fix this? Because we're not Wes.
Yeah. That does suck. We should all just change our names so we can fucking get some work done.
Remember when Age of Conan came out and they figured out that female characters had lower DPS than male characters because their animations took slightly longer and the damage triggers were hooked tied into animations? And I remember thinking at the time, man, that's stupid. I should never pay anybody to do that horse shit in a video game. And then I didn't think I had done that, but it turns out that I had.
I mean,
I like how one of our mini games has a time limit of 1 minute and 8 seconds because that's the number of times that the zombie's fucking animation cycle takes to get over to where you're standing.
I changed several of our mini games to have time limits of 5 seconds recently.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Did you do that on purpose?
Yeah, I mean, I'm testing.
So
bugs.
You're testing a super challenge mode.
But yeah, it's pretty great. You have a lot less time to think when you only have 5 seconds to enter your shit. Turns out the timers don't stop in our game when you submit a word that doesn't work, and so you can fail twice in one instance. So like you submit the bad word, and the fail animation starts, and it plays out, but then the timer runs out, and then you get punished again. Yet more animation bullshit is kind of what this is all about. Steam is coming to Linux.
Yeah.
They're finally making a client. I remember when it came out for Mac, and I was really like excited about it. And you know, I think Valve, almost all of their like modern games, I don't think they ever did like Half-Life for Mac. They like ported to Mac, and I was really excited about that. And I'm glad they're doing it for Linux because like it really opened up it being a distribution channel. I think has made more developers more excited about making games for Mac. And I think, you know, having people making games for every platform is probably a really good thing, right?
I mean, Linux guys would agree with you.
Yeah.
But then they'd be mad if you tried to sell it. You're like, no way, that should be open source.
I guess that's a good point. They're not going to want to pay for anything.
Do you think Linux is going to sue Valve for using the word source?
do you think, I forget what the breakdown was between Linux, Mac, and Windows users in terms of average cost for the indie bundle, because that was one of the views that you could look at for like who had donated the most. Windows was definitely the lowest.
Windows was the lowest, and then Mac, and then Linux, I think.
Yeah. So like, I wonder if that will hold true for if they'll buy more games than any other platform, like given their size or whatever.
I mean,
normalized for
average,
per capita.
Right? Yeah, but I mean, it won't matter, right? Like, even if the average Linux user spent 1,000 times more on games than
they
the average Windows user,
make up for it.
It probably still wouldn't be worth supporting financially. At a large scale.
So, but I mean, why are they porting it to Linux? Do you think just to be nice?
Maybe they believe that that Windows is on its way out.
Interesting.
And they figure it's easier to port from Linux to anything else later.
Star Wars: The Old Republic had some more layoffs. Some of this news is like more than 1 week old.
They were supposed to do an investors call this week, but I don't know if it happened, and so I didn't see any news about it.
I've not seen any news about it, so I doubt it has, if they were going to actually announce anything for real. Do you know that because you're an investor?
Yeah. Yeah, I get the memos.
Nice.
Sorry, you're fucked. That's what it said. We spent way too much money on this.
There was an interview with Kurt Schilling in
Boston magazine. What is Boston Magazine?
It's like a magazine.
It's like the magazine equivalent of Boston Market.
Yes. Mostly chicken.
Yeah, it's like some good roasted chicken and some macaroni and cheese.
They talked to Kurt Schilling about the collapse of 38 Studios, and he kind of just gave a more complete story of like how it happened. It's kind of interesting.
Which studio was that again?
That was the one that was making. They were the ones that bought what big
Kingdoms
huge
of
game?
Amalur, big
was
fish.
That Kingdom of Amalur.
And so
big
Kingdom
fish,
of, they were working on
old doll book.
What was it called? What was their MMO going to be?
Project Copernicus. I mean, that was just like a code name. It wasn't really called that.
Right.
It's probably Kingdoms of Amalur.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were gonna end up repurposing the IP or whatever.
You know, they talked about how there was a lot of good scenery and the graphics were really sweet and they had a lot of epic sweeping vistas and stuff, but that they just never quite got the combat worked out to where it was any fun, and it was depressing.
Yeah.
I think the whole thing was pretty depressing. I saw a bunch of negative press reactions to that article in particular, and I thought that I've always kind of felt like Schilling was just sort of I'm not exactly a patsy in this, but just like the dude just really wanted to make some video games and he was excited about it. And like he wasn't even really in charge of it, right? Like he was just scrambling around trying to get money for stuff. And
yeah,
just what, like, I guess probably the fact that he wouldn't admit that it was going to fail maybe caused some of the bigger problems at the end for the people that got laid off and stuff. But
it seems like there were a couple issues. Like the article talked about how he had made no secret early on of like that he wanted to be, you know, in the top five people, richest people in the world. And he thought that the way to do that was by making, you know, a really hugely successful MMO, right? Like, while I'm sure he wanted to make an awesome game, it sounded like he also wanted to be, like, just stinking rich, too. And, like, a lot of the problems that they were encountering were, like, him being extremely protective of, like, his ownership stake in the company, which was almost entirely his. And
well, but I mean, the way that manifested, according to the article, was by him not giving stock options to employees, which, you know, would have been worthless.
Well,
in the fullness of time anyway.
But it was also him effectively not being able to get real investors because the investors would have wanted a stake in the company and he wasn't willing to give them one. Hmm. Right? So he had to do so he ended up having to do this sort of like really sketchy deal with Rhode Island to get some money. And part of the reason that the company failed was that they had to hire 150 more people because they promised to create a bunch of jobs in Rhode Island. Yeah. You know, like
and they also had to name one of the major zones in the game Rhode Island, which was just like a completely flat island with a bunch of roads on it.
Yep.
Populated with road warriors.
Rogue Island.
And Rhodes scholars.
I saw a chart about retail video game sales over
the president
past
of that island was called the Roadhead.
Yes. And apparently video game sales peaked in 2008 and have just been on a decline ever since.
Retail video, does that include downloads and whatnot?
I don't know about, I don't know if that includes digital delivery. It's retail box sales for sure.
We're super late in a console cycle, so
consoles,
it's not surprising that it would be a little bit depressed. I mean, hardware sales especially are going to be crazy depressed.
Accessories, video game, like accessories for consoles actually has been steady or actually increasing a little bit.
Like those rubber wristbands that say, what would Xbox do?
Yeah.
Like a phone charm with a PS3 on it.
Yes, and lunch pails, those kinds of things. Yeah.
Okay.
Those have all been doing fine, but games themselves have been going down, which, I don't know if that's... Because, I mean, 2008 is also when, like, the economy started going to shit. So it's possible that this is just reflective of the economy being in a slump. Although you always hear about the entertainment industry being relatively recession-proof, so who
entertainment
knows?
And whiskey.
Well, sure. I mean, they're one and the same, right? And this isn't video game related, but I thought it was kind of neat that some students demonstrated that you could hijack like a military grade drone. Well, maybe not military, that you could hijack a drone by spoofing GPS signals.
Sweet.
If you can do it in sort of a clever way, you can actually just sort of remote take control of an automated drone aircraft.
By pretending to be GPS satellites?
By pretending to be GPS.
Do they actually wear, like, a tinfoil-covered box and run around going, beep, 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 beep.
Apparently, the military says that
the military says everything is okay.
Yeah.
The military says, nothing to worry about, folks.
That they're not going
to
have problems with this because they've got...
We made those kids disappear.
They've got multiple, like... points of information, and if the GPS happens to be lying, then that's not going to be the important thing. Although I think they use the GPS for like getting to the target site primarily, so I don't, who knows, you know.
Here's what you do. You find out what the government is trying to blow up, and then you paint a picture of it on the roof of someone that you don't like. And then you put on your satellite costume and you run around going beep 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 beep, and that's all it takes.
Yep.
That's all it takes. See, I learned Morse code playing the Secret World, solving Morse code puzzles, and now I can totally take control of black helicopters.
But also, you're now Christian.
Oh, yeah.
So you wouldn't do that because God says it's wrong.
That's probably true. He told me specifically. He talks to me through my fillings. Mostly he talks in numbers. And also Leviticus.
Dope.
I was out at the bar this past weekend, with our buddy who talked about having on his way home the previous night had fallen over on his motorcycle and just got up completely unharmed, as he had the last four or five times he'd wrecked his motorcycle. And he said that he believed that he had a superpower and that his superpower was being impervious to motorcycle accidents. And on cue, a motorcycle pulled up to the fence that we were sitting by, and I was hoping that the motorcycle would just plow through the fence and run over him, leaving him totally unharmed to just prove the point in a more dramatic fashion. But what instead happened is that a few days later, he hurt himself real seriously in a motorcycle accident, which fucking sucks.
Yeah.
What are you going to do without an ACL? You're going to limp. You're going to go get some surgery. You're going to probably have some physical therapy, maybe use a crutch, such as alcohol, which probably mostly what's happening there.
He'll probably get some good drugs out of the deal.
Yeah, wonder. Probably those good drugs are they'll give you the drugs that have the acetaminophen in them, so you have to drink with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you're especially not supposed to operate machinery like a motorcycle. Like, you know, what I heard is if you take enough Percocet, you get into a motorcycle accident, it doesn't hurt at all.
Are you allowed to, what if you're some sort of like motorcycle doctor? Are you allowed to operate on machinery?
I believe so, yeah. Okay. Yeah. They call him the surgeon because he's so good at picking people's teeth out of motorcycles.
Oh.
That's, motorcycles themselves are pretty sturdy compared to the people whose faces get crushed into the little nooks and crannies of them.
Donor cycles.
Donor cycles.
Yeah, it's apparently one of the nicknames that emergency room workers and give to them.
I see. Because they get a lot of organs donated. Spare teeth.
Mm-hmm. So the assignment.
The assignment. Ultima 4. Ultima 4. Quest of the Avatar. Quest of the Avatar. This is the game that Richard Garriott was the most proud of when asked, what are you most proud of?
Really?
Actually, when passively aggressively asked, are you 10 times as proud of Ultima Online as you are of everything else that you ever did? Because all he kept talking about was how Ultima Online made 10 times as much money. Mm. He was a real Kurt Schilling, you might say. He was just I want to make an MMO to make a bunch of money and go to space. And we were like, that's cool. Because it was pretty cool. I only played it for, I have to admit, like an hour. But I got enough of a feel for it, I think. You showed me enough of the ropes to like that I got around and kind of saw everything. And it is sort of atypical as an RPG. Like, you get into fights and then you just win them. Yep. You know, it is not nearly as unforgiving as something like a Wasteland or whatever, where
no, all the unforgivingness is in not knowing what to do and having to spend a lot of time walking around finding everybody and making notes about what they tell you.
It's like a giant puzzle.
Yeah.
It's really, I thought it was kind of neat.
If I had had a copy when it came out, I'm sure I would have played the hell out of it and loved it the same way that you did. Now, since I did not have that nostalgia, the clunkiness of the interface and just not knowing what the hell to do.
I did not actually feel like the interface was particularly bad for as a product of its time, especially. I mean, you needed a reference card, right?
Yeah.
Somebody in the Video Games Hot Dog forum was kind enough to link to the like quick reference chart, which you would normally, you know, would have been
in the box
next to your cloth map.
I do greatly respect the Ultima series for its cloth maps.
I don't know. I actually understand why this game is held in high regard. I mean, that I don't know. Did he do all of it himself?
That I don't know. That's a good question.
Because I feel like it's not. If he didn't, it wasn't too far away from the time when he was doing all of it himself. You know, there was a lot of writing in it, but I looked at a file that contained everything that everybody in the whole game said, and it wasn't that long. You know, it wasn't like it was the amount of writing.
Each person has like three or four things that they say, except for like Lord British and a couple other people.
Have you had a general idea of where you were going? I mean, it was the amount of writing that like I feel like one dude could do in a few weeks,
right? And the writing was not like amazing.
No, it was just a bunch of sentences.
But it
very short sentences about like I like cheese. Do you like cheese? Yes, cheese is fucking.
Likest thou cheese?
Cheese is fucking great. Or you should eat cheese because it's fucking great.
Are you sure
you played the same game?
The guard dialogue was pretty annoying. Like, I don't know if you talked to any guards.
I did.
What is your name? I am a guard. what is your job?
I guard this things. Corridor.
Yeah.
Like this great. Corpse.
Okay. I guard this corpse. Like, I am the nihilist guy. What is your name? Glenn Danzig. What is your job? Just carrying this fucking corpse around. He's referring to himself.
We're already dead.
As soon as you're born. As soon as you're born, you start bleeding. I mean, okay, so now I kind of want to make a... I kind of want to make a fan remix of Ultima 4 where every guard is Glenn Danzig.
I didn't like how some of the NPCs were just copies of each other. Like, there'd be, my name is Joe, my name is Joe, my name is Joe. Like, the three guys in the bar, all of them, they're the same, right? Like that.
Maybe that was just a joke.
I don't think so.
Did you accidentally go to the JoJo bar?
I did not go to the JoJo bar. And there were, like, kids, a lot of the kids that were running around were always the same and stuff. So, like...
My name is Kid. My job is to play.
Yeah.
I was like, my name is Kid. Or, find my partner. Play. We will have a house party.
When you'd ask what their job was, they'd be like, what's a job?
Oh, and you were like, man,
yeah.
To be that young again.
But yeah, I like, so a lot of the game is you know, talking to people in conversations. A lot of it is like finding secret passageways, which have the only difference of between a regular tile, like a regular tile and a secret passageway is a tiny white dot in the middle.
A single pixel.
Yeah. One white pixel.
Yeah.
I started a character and it placed me on shitty Poison Island, and then I just apparently the right thing to do is to just stand there until
the moon gate opens. Yeah.
But apparently time doesn't pass on its own unless you're on a particular, unless you're looking at your stats.
What?
That was pretty good, that the way that you look at your statistics is by hitting stats. Z for stats.
Yeah.
I don't know. Then I went through that. I went through the moon gate, and then it put me on an even smaller, shittier island. I was like, fuck. I waited for the moon gate to come back. And then I'm like back on shitty Poison Island.
Yeah, you need to pay more attention to the second moon phase when you're getting through there. Because you have the map. You literally have the map with all the moon gates on it in the box. So you know where you know where each thing is supposed to go.
So. Yeah, I guess I should have looked. I mean, I have a PDF of the map with all the moon gates on it.
Right, right.
Because I did buy a legitimate copy of Ultima 4 for $0 from GOG.cock.
But, that's true.
I can totally... Like, it is also weird how you go into a dungeon suddenly it looks like a fucking
totally
Atari
different
game.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's super... In some ways, it is more sophisticated than a lot of games like that at the time, because you'll like get to a junction and it will put you into a combat which suddenly switches back to tile-based 2D mode, and depending on which way you exit the combat from, it'll take you to a different place.
I, after giving up on actually playing it, I went and read a screenshot-based LP of Ultima 4, and he did Ultima 4, 5, and 6 all in one go.
Jeez.
While uploading the character to the next game each time.
Oh.
But the difference in the visual quality of the dungeons between 4 and 5 was kind of astonishing.
Huh.
Yeah.
I mean, there were effectively no textures. It was effectively like green and blue walls and ceilings.
Yeah, and there wasn't even like blitting or whatever. There was no transparency. Blitting. There was no transparency in the sprites.
Blitting.
So like if there's a monster in front of the base of a wall, there's just a black square around it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which you'd think that you'd come up with a way to not do that. Like some of the stuff, it's like, well, all right, these sprites could be better, but it's not just aggressively shitty. But some of the decisions, it's like, how, even in 1982 or whenever this came out, like, why was that acceptable relative to any other way of doing this?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you know? It just seemed like it would have been almost better off without the walls being solid colored, because it wouldn't have looked as bad to just see, like, these big black rectangles cut out around an 8-pixel rat.
8-pixel rat. Were they weren't that small, were they?
I don't know. No. I mean, the sprites were probably, I don't know, the sprites on the overworld map might have been like 12 by 12 or 15 by 15. Maybe. They're pretty small.
I mean, I just liked the combat is like this halfway between arcade style combat and the Final Fantasy like tactical combat, right? Because it's,
there's no real-time aspect to it at all.
Well, it's turn-based, right? but it is not the like having to sort through a ton of menus to attack something.
Well, right, because I mean, there's like six weapons.
Yeah, there's and it's just it's you pick it, you hit A and then you pick a direction and that's it.
I do wish that you could maybe like just also move onto a dude a la a roguelike to attack them, because I spent a lot of time in the first fight and not doing anything. Because I kept trying to move on to a guy, and it would say, blocked. And I'm like, oh, that guy must be really good at using a shield. But it turns out it said the same thing if you tried to go through a wall.
Right.
Because your progress was blocked.
Yeah. Is it 1985 was when it came out?
I don't know. Okay. That's later than I thought.
There's a lot of depth to the game.
What struck me about it is that there were enough systems in place that you could do a lot of stuff with it. And then he did a lot of stuff right. with it. You know, I mean, you get to the point where it's like, all right, you can move around a map, you go into a thing and that moves you to another map, you go into a thing and that moves you to another map. You can create, even with fairly low fidelity, you can create a lot of environment to explore. Mm-hmm. And he did. There was a lot of stuff going on in there. I'm not entirely sure what the advantage of having the dungeon sections be like
totally
3D maze was.
It's harder to map. Right.
Yeah, but I mean, if you've got your magical gems, then you...
Yeah, I never used that. Apparently, and I guess you were telling me that once you make a spell out of ingredients, and then once you use it, it goes away, but I think it doesn't go away.
Yeah, it does.
I think it just costs mana.
No, when you mix up a cure spell, and then you use it. That's why there's a quantity button number next to it.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's weird. Why are they spells and not just potions?
Dude, I don't know.
Because it seems like it would be impossible to play as a magic user. Like, if you couldn't cast Magic Missile, if you could only cast Magic Missile once, you'd have to find five of the ingredients for every monster that you killed. Like, it doesn't... The stuff that I read, the guide that I read, suggested that it didn't go away when you used it.
I think attacking with magic is different than... casting spells. Like cure is just a spell that you cast that just uses up that actual reagent thing. Yeah. I don't know that it takes any mana to use.
Right, you can also get cured for if you accidentally walk into the shitty swamp that surrounds you on shitty Poison Island. You can go, luckily there's a healer there that will take like all of your gold in exchange for curing it.
For a cure. Which is nuts.
If I could have gotten my poisoned ass to Brit Castle or whatever.
I think you could have just died.
Started over.
No, just dying.
And then it teleports you to
Lord British.
To Lord British, yeah.
But you can ask him about health and he'll cure you and give you all your hit points back and resurrect all your...
Which is actually an excellent way to cheese out your compassion virtue, because there's also a healer in Lord British's castle who will offer for you to donate blood, which takes 100 hit points but raises your compassion. Huh. And then you go and Lord British heals you for free.
Yeah, talk about those systems, because I did not really get to play with them much.
I mean, so part of the basic point of the game is to raise all 8 of your virtues to the point where you are the avatar, and then you go and you like collect a bunch
like
of other shit.
The first half of the game, I guess.
Yeah. And you have to go like find the codex of wisdom or whatever, but doing that is kind of opaque. Like, you get an idea, like people tell you
there's a guy that you can talk to that just tells you your points in all of the virtues. Yeah.
Well, he doesn't say points,
but he tells you how you're doing.
Yeah,
what your progress is.
He describes how good you are at it.
When you ask him his job, it's like, my job is listing numbers.
Yeah. And so there are definitely, like, and these are just mathematical systems, and they're not particularly well refined in Ultima 4. But, and, you know, at the time the game came out, there was no internet to look stuff up. You kind of just had to figure stuff out on your own.
I was interested to see that, like, if you get attacked by a wild animal, you lose some virtue by killing them.
Right.
You have to run away from the fights in order to not... I don't know. Is it compassion that you have for animals?
I think so. Might be, yeah.
Yeah.
Animal husbandry. One of the virtues, right?
Yeah.
Obedience.
Friend.
Trustworthiness. What are the Boy Scouts?
Of all animals.
The Boy Scout virtues. Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. I like I am never going to play that game, but I read a bunch about it, and it's a neat piece of history.
Yeah.
Yeah, it brought back a lot of memories. Without spoilers, I had gotten through the entire game when I was in, you know, or probably before high school, and got to the whole end of the game. I remember being stuck for a long time on the very final sort of question at the codex.
Do you know the bonus secret about that?
No.
There is a talking horse character whose name is Smith.
Yeah.
Whose dialogue tree was never finished. That's where that answer was supposed to be given to you. He appears again in Ultima 5 and says, "Oh, by the way, the answer is..." And then he appears again in Ultima 6 and tells you what the big secret solution was for Ultima 5. He appears in just about every Ultima game now telling you what the big secret thing you needed to know to win the previous game was.
Huh. Wow. Well, how did you beat it without knowing this secret horse secret?
I tried things for days. Yeah. I tried different answers.
The riddle of clues you, and I guess according to at least the way that the Let's Play I read looked, it looks like when you get to that bit, there's a little animation that kind of tips you off a little bit. Maybe.
Yeah. I don't remember exactly, but it was vague enough where I did not get it right away, and I spent a lot of time, and I went back through the game and talked to everybody again and couldn't find, like, nobody knew anything.
How long is an Ultima 4 speed run?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question.
I mean, there's a lot of exploity ways to raise your virtues, right? So I wonder.
Yeah, I don't know. There's not a whole lot to it. Like, you have to collect the Bell, the Book, and the Candle, and you have to get the mystic weapons, and
You don't actually... Okay, so you have to get the runes. You don't actually have to get the mantras, because they're the same every time.
Right. And the game doesn't... I don't think the game checks to see whether you've actually learned them or not.
Character knowledge versus player knowledge is a weird...
Especially going to the next game, because those same mantras...
Just are maintained.
You need them, you need them again in 5, and if you remember them from 4, you know them already.
Right. Yeah, I never played 5, so I don't know anything about it.
At what point did Ultima switch to the graphics that I hate?
7, I think, probably. Oh, yeah.
What is graphics that you hate?
The ones that look pseudo-realistic, like you're looking down on dudes, like Ultima Online style graphics.
Basically. I think that was 6.
6, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah.
I sort of, in my head, I had divided them into like groups of 3 being in the same engine, but maybe not.
There definitely seem to be like the same story or trilogy by 3s.
I would like to play a remake of Ultima Underworld that moving around is not so frustrating, because it was like just this sort of weird, like, they hadn't really figured out like WASD and mouse yet, and it was fully, you know, you had full freedom of movement, but it's so awful to actually look around and move around and do stuff in it. But like, it seems like it's probably a really good game. All right, next assignment. Archon, indie game about chess.
Yep. So it's
Archon. You kind of have to get it abandonware or find, like...
It's from 1982.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a CGA game.
DOS box
is basically your best
bet. The box.
So it's like chess, with doesn't tell you the rules.
Yeah.
And then when you go to capture a piece, you play Zaxxon.
Yeah. It's great Arcadia-style combat. There are pieces that are stronger against other pieces.
Can you set it to play the combats for you?
I don't remember.
I seem to remember that, but I can't remember for sure.
You might be able to.
Did they ever do like an NES version of Archon?
I think they may have.
Maybe. It was on a bunch of different platforms. Commodore 64 and stuff.
Because I wonder if the NES version wouldn't at least, if you got that in an emulator, if that wouldn't at least have the speed issue taken care of.
Yeah, that's. I mean,
so
that's
every time I've tried to play Archon in the past, it's just like it's fine, and then you get into combat, and it's like, and you're dead, and you're like, I don't even know what the fuck just happened there. Yeah, I the problem that I always had with it was not having read any instructions. So I think this time I might try to read some instructions. I'm curious though whether this game is actually any good or not. I think the idea of it is really appealing, and I think a lot of people talk about it being good because they didn't play it. That's just a theory. It's just a theory.
I think you can play two player. I think I have memories of playing two player, whether those are real or not. This was another one of my favorite games from my youth. It's like a very it's a very nostalgic time.
You actually played a bunch of it.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it back in the day.
All right. Well, we'll see if it holds up.
Yeah, it may not. I haven't looked at it in 20 years, so. 30 years? 30 years? No. No.
You couldn't have been playing it when you were five.
No, I know.
It has been 30 years since 1982.
Right.
This game is 30 years old.
So 25 years, probably.
Okay. This game is totally old enough to rent a car. Kevin, if somebody wanted to ask us a listener's mail so that we could ignore it for months at a time, I have a sheet. I have the sheet that I forgot to take with me to San Fernando.
Yep. Sandy Emberg.
But we're not gonna read any of it now.
Okay.
Because it's time to go play the Secret World.
Yeah. Well, you could tweet at us at VGHotDog. You could email us, VGHotDog@gmail.com. You could go back to the Twitter and you could just follow us. That'd be crazy.
At VG Hot Dog. You can maybe send us a sweet link about a Walmart gift card or yeah. How we won a free iPod today.
Yep. That's always very popular. You could check out our forums, which are accessible via videogameshotdog.com. And you could listen to
pretty
more of our podcasts.
You find some people like complaining about Diablo 3.
You could pass a note to your local Illuminati representative.
Oh, I thought you were going to say pass a note to your sweetheart in old man dungarees class.
You could come ask us a question.
That's your local Illuminati representative.
The class where you learn to make old man dungarees.
You could ask us a question in person.
Made out of old men?
At Dragon Con.
Oh, yeah. When is Dragon Con?
Over Labor Day weekend, which is the very last couple of days of August and the very first couple of days of September.
Oh, you could run into me and Wes the Animator at California Extreme this weekend.
Yep.
We'll be the guys in shirts playing video games.
Yep. Or you could come and you could visit us at KOL Con, which is going to be happening in mid-September. So
it's fucking con season.
It is.
Yeah.
We got those beetles in our ears controlling our thoughts.
Yep.
And genetic engineered super soldiers.
And we're going to terraform some plants.
Putting Corinthian leather on all of our stuff. Corinthian leather was Ricardo Montalban. No wine before its time was Orson Welles.
Orson Welles.
I was going to say Edgar Rice Burroughs, but no, that was Tarzan.
Yes.
Tarzan was written by Edgar Rice Burroughs. What? There was that movie. There was a Tarzan movie that came out when we were in the 80s. Us, specifically, when we were in the 80s, not when the
rest
of the world
was. Well, a time machine that screws everything up.
Yeah. What would William S. Burroughs' version of Tarzan have been like? I'm not expecting an answer. I'm just
a beat poet that swings through the trees.
I mean, there probably would have been some like sweaty anal sex. There's a lot of that in
some weird centipede people.
Yeah, some probably things with like sticks and vaginas on the ends of the sticks. A lot of milking things, and. I don't know. And then basically he swings on vines, but they're all in random order. So he's just always falling to his death.
Swinging both ways on the vines.
And then Jane gets shot in the head.
Yeah. He's like, whoops. I guess. I don't really remember. All right. Well, tune in next time for another fun-filled episode of Video Games Hot Dog, where we'll teach you everything you need to know about Steve Martin and Edgar Rice Burroughs.
Yes.
Have a great week, everybody.
Bye.